Okay, you guys want a joke? Here we go. Two men were walking through a field one day when they spotted an enraged bull. Instantly, they darted towards the nearest fence. A storming bull followed in hot pursuit, and it was soon apparent they wouldn't make it. Terrified, the one shouted to the other, "Put up a prayer, John. We're in for it." John answered, "I can't. I've never made a public prayer in my life." "But you must," implored his companion. "The bull is catching up to us." "All right," panted John, "I'll say the only prayer I know, the one my father used to repeat at the table. O Lord, for what we are about to receive, make us truly thankful." Yeah. Yeah. One day, Joe, Bob, and Dave were hiking in a wilderness area when they came upon a large, raging, violent river. They needed to get to the other side, but had no idea on how to do so. Joe prayed to God, saying, "Please, God, give me the strength to cross this river." Poof! God gave him big arms and strong legs, and he was able to swim across the river in about 2 hours, although he almost drowned a couple times. Seeing this, Dave prayed to God, saying, "Please, God, give me the tools to cross this river." Poof! God gave him a rowboat, and he was able to row across the river in about an hour after almost capsizing the boat a couple times. Bob had seen how this worked out for the other two, so he also prayed to God, saying, "Please, God, give me the wisdom on how to cross this river." Poof! God gave him a map. Bob looked at the map, hiked upstream a couple of hundred yards, and walked across the bridge. It helps to pray for the right thing, doesn't it? And one more here while we get folks still coming in. A young boy called the pastor of a local church to come pray for his mother, who had been very ill with the flu. The pastor knew the family and was aware that they had been attending another church down the road. So the pastor said, "Shouldn't you be asking your pastor to come by to pray with your mom?" The young boy replied, "Yeah, but we didn't want to take the chance he might catch whatever mom has." Them kids are pretty smart. All right, well, today I do want to talk to you about prayer today, folks. That's a topic that, we hear a lot about it every day. We hear it on the news how people are going to pray for so-and-so, and you rarely hear a public prayer offered up anymore, of course. That's politically incorrect, but you hear people say that, and sometimes it's good to know just exactly what a prayer really should be. Amen? I mean, what does God consider to be a good prayer, and how can we benefit from that? Well, I decided to look up the word prayer in Webster's 1828 dictionary, which is, of course, a good source for a biblically based definition of a word. And here's what Webster said. Prayer. In worship, a solemn address to God consisting of adoration or an expression of our sense of God's glorious perfections, confession of our sins, supplication for mercy and forgiveness, intercession for blessings on others, and thanksgiving, or an expression of gratitude to God for His mercies and benefits. A prayer may consist of a single petition, and it may be extemporaneous, written, or printed. That's his definition. So, prayer is defined well in that dictionary, but, you know, one of the big questions that we have every day, I mean, really, and even in my own life, I've asked myself this question, is why pray? You know, why do we really want to pray? What's the incentive? What's God's incentive for us to pray? Well, in the Bible, there's 650 different prayers mentioned. So it's a topic that's very well covered in the Bible. It's first mentioned in 2 Samuel 7:27. King David offers up a prayer to God concerning the temple. Now, you know, before 2 Samuel, there's always instances of people talking to God. You know, Noah talked to God. There's a lot of instances like that, but the word prayer actually isn't mentioned in the Word of God until 2 Samuel. And we are directed by God to pray, folks. Let's turn in your Bibles, please, to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Philippians 4, 6 says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Heavenly Father, as we examine your word today on this very serious and beneficial topic, we pray that your blessing on everybody here and the words that are spoken as well, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So, we're directed by God to pray. It says, "But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." And so that doesn't leave much out, does it? It says, in everything. Another thing about prayer is that prayerlessness is called a sin in 1 Samuel. In fact, let's just take our Bibles and turn over there, get a look at that passage. 1 Samuel chapter 12. 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 23. This is Samuel speaking, of course. It says, "Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way." So Samuel seems to think that if he doesn't pray for somebody like he should, that that's considered a sin in God's eyes. And that's an accurate way to look at it. Now, it can be difficult for us to pray. Amen? Our flesh naturally resists prayer. I don't know if you've noticed that. But when you try to find time to pray, when I try to find time to pray, there's a myriad of distractions that all of a sudden appear out of the woodwork, it seems like. And even in the midst of prayer, you can be distracted. Now, I went and saw the movie The War Room. How many of you folks saw that? That's an incredibly good movie. And in the Lord Jesus Christ, his name is mentioned in that movie several times. And, you know, one of the things I was kind of disappointed with some of the Christian movies, you know, that came out recently was that they really avoided mentioning the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in this movie, they were not bashful about it. And they put forth a very good concept about getting yourself in a place where you can be alone, where you can speak to God without being interrupted, for the most part, and having in the scene in the movie, of course, the lady's sitting there in her closet that she's cleared out, and she's got things on the wall that are on paper to remind her of what to pray for and who to pray for. And I was just so taken by that. I thought that is such a perfect way to set things up so that we don't get interrupted, right? But our flesh naturally does resist it. It's the part of the battle between the flesh and the spirit. Amen? The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. Some of the obstacles that I can think of are that maybe we don't have a true relationship with God yet. And that relationship, of course, must happen through accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, trusting him, believing what God said about us, putting our faith and trust in him. That establishes a correct relationship with God. And at that point, your prayers, God is certainly welcoming them at that point. Now, there are passages in the Bible that say that God doesn't hear prayers of the wicked. Now, that's not regarding salvation. That's just regarding prayers that are out there. And you can think of public figures who say, "Well, we're going to pray for you." Well, if that person's not a Christian, that prayer is not going to be heard by God. And that's just the way it is. That's the Bible's pretty clear about that. Another reason there may be an obstacle to prayer. Let's look over in James, the book of James, and chapter 4. We might be asking for the wrong things. That happens, doesn't it? James 4, 3. Chapter 4, verse 3. "Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts." Now, I can remember when I was a kid, I used to pray to God that he would turn me into Superman so I wouldn't get picked on all the time. But you know what? It never happened. I don't know why. They never found me. But that's the kind of prayers that can be offered up, amen? You know, I mean, we think about ourselves. We think about our situations. We think about people that we don't like, whatever it is. But if your prayers are asked amiss, to consume it on your own lust, then it's just not going to happen. God's not going to answer that prayer the way you want him to. Also, it could be good because we're too proud. Let's look down in verse 6, same chapter. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. So there's something about pride that God really resists. And I'm sure we've noticed that in our own lives. I know I have. You know, if my attitude is not correct, if it's prideful, if I think, hey, I know how to deal with this situation, God, you just back me up, will you?
Oh, dear.
Well, you know what? That's not the way to do it. I mean, what we need to remember is that our wisdom is foolishness unto God. That's what the Bible makes that clear. And so, who is the all-wise God? There's only one. He's the one. We need to ask him for guidance. Many view prayer as a chore. You know, some people think, well, okay, I guess I'll pray just because the pastor told me to or whatever, you know. But guilt is a lousy motivator. So if you feel guilty because you don't pray, that's not necessarily going to motivate you to pray. We want to pray because God rewards us for doing so. And we're going to see a little bit about that in just a minute. But, you know, that's a way of us to converse with the creator of the universe. And we are able to come to him boldly before the throne of grace. And it's really an incredible privilege. But what we're going to examine is basically a couple different aspects. And the first one I want to look at is who has a right to pray? Who has a right to pray? Well, God will answer the prayers of his children. Okay? Let's look over in Matthew. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6. This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. When thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And of course, Lord Jesus Christ is addressing his followers, his children, so to speak. We are his children based on the fact that we have accepted him as our Lord and Savior. We are part of the body of Christ. He also answers the prayers of the righteous. Let's look over in Proverbs. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. Now, our righteousness is imparted to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There's no way we're going to be righteous on our own. You can't just walk out the door and say, I'm going to be righteous today. Well, you know, it doesn't work. The Lord Jesus Christ imparts us his righteousness. That gives us the privilege of praying to him, and he will hear that. He will answer our prayers. He answers the prayers of the obedient. Let's look over in 1 John. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Devout persons who are seeking God, God will answer their prayers. And this is people that are unsaved in many cases, who actually are seeking God. He will answer those prayers. Let's look over in Acts chapter 10, story about Cornelius. Acts chapter 10 and verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. That's not a musical group. A devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision evidently about the ninth hour of the day an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. Let's go down to verse 30. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Okay, and he also answers the prayers of those who turn from their wicked ways. Let's look over in 2 Chronicles 7:14. I remember right after 9/11 happened, this verse kind of popped up in several places. You'd hear it quite often. It says, If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. In other words, God's in heaven. He's going to hear it. Forgive their sins and will heal their land. So he will answer the prayers of those who turn away from their wicked ways. He's promised to do it. Now, you know, if you don't turn from your wicked ways, conversely, then he won't. And that's what's happened in this country. If anything, we've gotten worse over the years since then. Now, God will not answer prayers who are disobedient to God's law. Let's look over in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 9. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. That's not a good thing. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law. And you can just move that on forward to the gospel, can't you? If somebody's not willing to listen to the gospel and is not a saved man, has rejected the gospel, then his prayers are not heard. In fact, they're considered an abomination to God. So if they have unforgiven sin in their life, let's look over in Isaiah 59. Verse 1 says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, and it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." Now, we as New Testament believers, we have a great privilege, and that is in 1 John 1:9, it says, "If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." So that's a verse that we should all take advantage of every single day. Just talk to him about it. Say, "Hey, Lord, you know, I blew this, I blew that. I'm sorry, you know, and please hear my prayers," you know, and he will. He's promised to do that. Here's one. He will not answer the prayers of those who mistreat their spouse. Now, I was trying to figure out, what does that mean exactly? Let's look over in 1 Peter. You know, there's varying degrees, right, of mistreatment. You don't do the dishes or something like that. 1 Peter 3, chapter 7. "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." Well, there you go. See, if your wife wants to go hunting, don't give her a hard time about it. Okay, and he will not answer the prayers of those who are self-righteous. Let's look over in Luke. Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18 and verse 9. "And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised other." Wow, does that sound familiar? "Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted.'" There's that pride again right there. Okay, when should we pray? We know that verse, pray without ceasing, right? Well, we should pray day and night. Let's look, we're in Luke. Let's just turn back to chapter 2. Luke 2:37 says, "And she was a widow of about 84 years, 84 years old, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day." Night and day. God's not going to discourage you from praying, night or day. Let's look over in 1 Thessalonians also. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. This is the Apostle Paul, of course, writing to the Thessalonians. He says in verse 10, "Night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith." So night and day, Paul was a prayer warrior. He prayed night and day. We're encouraged to do the same. We're to continue steadfastly and devoted. Let's look at Colossians 4 and verse 2.
And verse 2 says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. So he says to continue in prayer, and there's, of course, there's that attitude of thankfulness that goes along with it. You know, giving thanks to the Lord while you pray for the things that he's already done for you, which are numerous. Pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. That's that verse right there. It says, pray without ceasing. And also pray at all times. I mean, these are all pretty much the same statement, but basically what the idea is, don't stop praying. You know, I mean, you can go down the road in your car without closing your eyes, please, and say a prayer just as it pops in your head. And, you know, I've known people that if you see an accident, and I was so impressed by this person when she did this, but we were in the car together and there was an accident ahead, and right away she just broke into a prayer for these folks. And I thought, you know what, Lord, let me be more like that. Let me be more spontaneous with prayer for others in situations just like that. A group of ministers had assembled for the discussion of difficult questions. Among other, it was asked how the command to pray without ceasing could be complied with. Various explanations were given. It was finally agreed that one was appointed to write a lengthy essay on it, which would be read at the next meeting. The entire discussion was overheard by a young woman who had been serving the tea. She said, what? A whole month to tell the meaning of that text? Why, it is one of the easiest and best texts in the Bible. Well, well, Mary, said an old minister, what can you say about it? Let us know how you understand it. Can you pray all the time without ceasing? Oh, yes, sir. What, the old minister coughed back, when you have so many things to do? Why, sir, the more I have to do, the more I can pray. Indeed, he replied. Well, Mary, let us know how it is. Most of us think the answer is otherwise. Well, sir, she said, when I first open my eyes in the morning, I pray, Lord, open the eyes of my understanding. And while I am dressing, I pray that I may be clothed with the robes of righteousness. When I wash, I ask for the washing of regeneration. As I work, I pray that I may have the strength equal to my day. As I sweep out the house, I pray that my heart may be cleansed from all impurities. While preparing and eating of breakfast, I pray to be fed with the hidden manna and the sincere milk of the word. As I am busy with the little children, I ask God to make me become as a child, and so on, all day. Everything I do furnishes me with a thought for prayer. Enough, enough, cried the old minister. These things are revealed to babes and hid from the wise and prudent. Go on, Mary, pray without ceasing. May we all do the same. And you really can pray without ceasing. You really can. About who to pray for? Who should we be praying for? Well, first and foremost, we should really pray for the lost. Amen. Let's look over in Romans chapter 10 and verse 1. This, of course, is the Apostle Paul writing. It says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Of course, the people he's praying for are the unsaved in Israel. They might be saved. They are obviously not saved at that time. We're to pray for all men and our rulers. That's a tough one there, isn't it? Let's look over in 1 Timothy, though. 1 Timothy and chapter 2. I didn't like this one either, folks. I just about skipped over it. Verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. All men. For kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. So, we might know a few that are in power nowadays that probably aren't saved, you know, at least they don't act like it, right? But what we can do is we can pray for their salvation. That's one thing you can pray for. You can pray for it earnestly. And it shouldn't give you any heartburn to do that, right? I mean, just pray that they get saved. I mean, that's going to change everything. And so we are urged to pray for all men, including kings and those in authority. How about the sick? We do that here, don't we? Let's pray. Let's look over in James chapter 5 and verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. In verse 14, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him. Verse 15, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. Now, clearly the Lord is in control of this whole situation. You know, some people are healed, some aren't, but we know that, you know, everybody's going to die sometime. And so, you know, we pray for somebody's healing. That's not only for their benefit, it's for ours. It's to give us a time to talk to God and also just to show that person how much we care about them. You know, we are here and we're instructed to care for each other, to love each other. And one of the ways we do that is by praying for each other. Amen? Supposed to pray for our enemies. That's another one of those almost skipped. Let's look over in Matthew chapter 5. But again, it's the type of prayer that we offer. And verse 43. And here's the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't argue with them. Here we go. You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. That's the way I was brought up. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Again, praying for their salvation. Don't pray that they'll have a good day. Pray that they'll get saved, right? That's what will change their attitude. I pray that they'll have a terrible day and want to get saved. I mean, that's the way I pray about it. Make these people miserable, their Lord, and bring them to a point where they need you and they can't live without you. Isn't that a good prayer, really? Yeah. Don't pray blessings on them. Just pray they'll get saved. We're supposed to pray for other Christians, too. Let's look over in Ephesians 6:18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So we can pray for all saints worldwide, right? Lord, watch over those missionaries in Iraq. And, you know, there's a real opportunity there. You know, we've identified the folks that we support through missions. And, of course, you can pray for them by name, but that doesn't mean you have to stop there. You know, pray for the folks that are out there in the line of fire. And that's the only weapon we really have, and it's a powerful one. So, and those fall into the category of proclaimers of the gospel, amen? We can't go to Israel right now. We can't go to some other places and get the gospel out there like these folks are doing. But we can support them with our prayers and, of course, financially as well. Okay, so how do we pray? We know who to pray for now, but how do we do it exactly? Well, let's see what the Bible says about it. Look over in Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 12. Pray fervently like the world depends on it. Verse 12 says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Fervently, there's that word, fervently. With bold confidence. With bold confidence, we, as members of the body of Christ, have that privilege of approaching the throne with confidence. Let's look over in Hebrews chapter 4. You know, you don't have to wear the right clothes or, you know, crawl on your hands and knees or anything like that, folks. I mean, you don't have to get your knees all bloody crawling up some steps to approach the throne. You can approach it boldly, and we're going to see a reference to that right here, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's a great verse. I mean, what a privilege it is. We can just spontaneously come to the throne of grace. And that's the key, really, to praying without ceasing. Because you can't, if there was all this preparation you had to do, well, then you couldn't do that. Amen? But since you can approach the throne boldly, you can pray where you're at, and in any circumstance, we can approach the throne knowing that he will answer our prayer and give us grace, as this verse just said. Pray with sincerity and selfless intent. Let's look over in Matthew again. Matthew chapter 6. These are all ways the Bible tells us how to pray. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. And so there's a clear directive there that that movie that I mentioned followed pretty closely. You know, it's just a way that God will respond to our prayers. Now, and I don't see too many people doing that nowadays, but some people do, where they just stand out and open and offer these prayers up and try to look holier than thou. And God pretty makes it pretty clear. He doesn't even hear them, does he? He doesn't even hear them. And again, we're supposed to pray with humility. He gives grace to the humble. We're supposed to keep alert. While you're praying, keep alert. Don't pray when you're tired. I mean, I'm not saying don't pray when you're tired. Don't try to focus on a certain prayer for a group of people or a topic that is heavy on your heart while you're tired, because that's another time where that Satan can use that to just to kind of lull you to sleep. Now, I've prayed at night in bed for people, and I drift off to sleep. But the Lord honors that, I believe. There's no problem with that. But really, if you really want to focus on a prayer and talk to the Lord in all earnestness and seriousness about a topic, try not to do it when you're tired. Now, we pray in Jesus' name. You ever wonder about where that came from? Let's look at it. Colossians 3:17. Colossians 3:17, and it says, "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." So we take that and we offer up prayers in the name of the Lord Jesus. That is in word, right? So that's where we get, that's why we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you're praying, be devoted to it. Don't just offer up a prayer and then forget about it. Try to be devoted. Let's look over in Romans again. Romans chapter 12 and verse 12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. So you're continuing on in prayer, but at a moment's notice, right? You're available, you can pray at a moment's notice. Continuing that kind of a mindset. We're to have an attitude of thanksgiving. We talked about that. Colossians 4:2 says that as you pray, be thankful. You know, when I offer up a prayer, I usually try to mention a few things that I'm thankful for right off the bat. I just feel like that puts me in a proper frame of mind. You know, we have so many things to be thankful for. You know, all you got to do is just take a minute, and you can identify so many. And you know what? That's another good thing. I write down a list just of things that you're thankful for. You know, you could add to it every single day. I mean, you're going to have more than one page. But that reminds you that, you know, God has answered prayers of others on your behalf as well as your own for your own behalf. And you have all these blessings to prove that. So just have an attitude of thanksgiving. Pray for with a forgiving spirit. Let's look over in Ephesians chapter 4. In verse 32, this, of course, is speaking to the body of Christ. We are all members of the body of Christ if you've accepted the Lord as your Savior. Verse 32 says, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." So pray with a forgiving spirit, and that spirit should be prevalent. You know, none of us except Lee are perfect in here. And so, you know, we have to forgive each other periodically for perceived slights or, you know, and that's usually just what it is. But that's the kind of spirit we should have as followers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Forgiving spirit. Again, pray with perseverance and persistence. That's goes along with being devoted. Just persevere at the prayer. Don't lose heart. Don't lose heart if the prayer isn't answered right away or in a way that you think it should be. Let's look over in Luke chapter 18. And we'll just look at verse 1 here. This is the intro to the parable, but the point is made in verse 1. It says, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." ought always to pray and not to faint. So don't give up on your prayers. Again, that's a benefit to you to continue in the prayer and to persevere with diligence and not to lose heart. You can be specific when you pray. You know, you don't have to pray in generalities. You know, bless the whole world, or, you know, Lord, I pray for the hunger of the whole world. Well, you know, let's be a little more specific. Who's hungry? I mean, let's pick out a few people. Okay, there's this man in town who doesn't have much food. Lord, I would like to be able to do something for him. I pray for his salvation. I pray for the opportunity to do something for him that will bring him to you, right? That's a prayer that you can pray for. I mean, you can just pick people out, but be specific. Don't be afraid to do that. And also, we need to pray expecting to receive. Pray expecting to receive. Let's look back in James and chapter 1 and verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. If you don't pray for wisdom every day, folks, you're doing yourself a disservice. That should be one of your prayers in the morning. Lord, give me wisdom today regarding anything that I come up against. Help me to act in a godly manner, the way that would please you today. Pray that every morning, folks, for yourself and also for those around you. Pray for wisdom. God has promised to give it to us. He's not going to say no, maybe, wait. He's going to say, yes, I'll give it to you. And he does. He does do that. Verse 6, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. So our attitude is paramount. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have the opportunity, we have the privilege of approaching the Lord boldly. But we need to approach him also with faith, saying, Lord, you know, I know that you have saved me, and I'm so thankful for that. And I am trusting you for this. I'm trusting you for this issue. And the Lord will take care of that. He will honor that prayer. But again, persistence is one of the keys. Some people pray for a bushel and then carry a cup, right? That's what they're expecting. That's not the way. That's not the way we should pray. If you're praying for a bushel, carry a bushel with you. And don't expect a $1,000 answer to a 10-cent prayer. A country preacher decided to skip services one Sunday and head to the hills to do some bear hunting. Anybody relate to that? Yeah. As he rounded the corner on a perilous twist in the trail, he and a bear collided, sending him and his rifle tumbling down the mountainside. Before he knew it, his rifle went one way and he went the other, landing on a rock and breaking both legs. That was the good news. The bad news was the ferocious bear charging at him from a distance, and he couldn't move. Oh, Lord, the preacher prayed, I'm so sorry for skipping services today to come out here and hunt. Please forgive me and grant me just one wish. Make that bear a Christian, and that's coming at me. Please, Lord, that's it. Well, at that very instant, the bear skidded to a halt, fell to its knees, clasped its paws together, and began to pray aloud right at the preacher's feet. Dear Lord, bless this food I am about to receive. In Jesus' name, amen. That's a 10-cent prayer, isn't it, folks? Okay, prayer posture. Well, should we stand, kneel, sit? Lie down, what? Well, the following postures are recorded in the Bible. A man fell on his face, Matthew 26, Mark 14. A man lifting up his hands in 1 Timothy. A man kneeling down in Luke 22, Acts 7, 9, 20, 21. Ephesians 3, 2 Chronicles 6, and Daniel 6. A man standing, Mark 11. A man sitting in 2 Samuel 7. So, what's the point? It doesn't matter, right? A lot of times when we pray with the pastor before the service, we'll get down on our knees and offer a real fervent prayer on his behalf as he comes in. And that's a good way to do things. That's a good way to approach a time like that where it's appropriate. But you don't have to do that because the prayer without praying without ceasing commandment doesn't really allow you to do that, does it? So don't worry about your posture. In fact, here's a little poem. "The proper way for man to pray," said Deacon Lemuel Keyes, "and the only proper attitude is down upon his knees." "No, I should say the way to pray," said Reverend Dr. Wise, "is standing straight with outstretched arms, with rapt and upturned eyes." "Oh, no, no, no," said Elder Snow, "such posture is too proud. A man should pray with eyes fast closed and head contritely bowed." It seems to me his hands should be austerely clasped in front, with both thumbs pointing toward the ground, said Reverend Dr. Blunt. "Last year I fell in Hodgkin's well, head first," said Cyrus Brown, "with both my heels a-sticking up, my head a-pointing down. And I made a prayer right then and there, best prayer I ever said, the prayingest prayer I ever prayed, a-standing on my head." So it doesn't matter, right? Pray where you're at, without ceasing. Now, there's a lot of examples in the Bible about great prayers offered up by these heroes of the faith, Abraham, Moses, Hezekiah. You remember the Lord extended his life based on a prayer. Let's look at that. 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 20. 2 Kings chapter 20 and verse 1. "In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and the prophet Isaiah the son of Amoz came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." Boy, you'd hate to hear that, wouldn't you? "Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass, before Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears, behold, I will heal thee. On the third day shalt thou go up unto the house of the Lord, and I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake." Great example of a prayer that was answered, by the Lord on Hezekiah's behalf. We have Nehemiah offering up prayers, Gideon, Eleazar, Elijah, Hannah, Daniel. Daniel prayed a lot. How about Jonah? Remember Jonah? What's he doing? Well, he got into a situation where that he shouldn't have been in. Let's look over there in the book of Jonah, in chapter 2. It's easy to pray when you're in trouble, isn't it? And verse 1. "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice." Sometimes it feels like we're in the belly of hell, doesn't it, folks? "For thou hadst cast me into the deep and in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul, and depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. So Jonah prayed a fervent prayer to the Lord at that time, in his distress, of course. You know, because he was trying to dodge his duties, right? He was supposed to go to Nineveh, and he decided to go the opposite direction on a ship, and of course got everybody in the ship in great peril until they threw him overboard. And so, you know, he brought it upon himself, but the Lord still heard his prayer, didn't he? Jesus, of course, offers up all sorts of good examples of prayer. The intensity of prayer in Luke 22:44, where he's sweating drops of blood. In Acts, the Christians pray for Peter's release from prison. And the apostles pray for boldness and protection against enemies. So, some tips on prayer. We'll wrap this up. Set aside time each day to pray, if you can possibly do it. If it's early in the morning when you're just kind of doodling around, getting a cup of coffee and nobody else is up yet, man, that's a good time. Use a prayer list unless you have a perfect memory. I don't have a perfect memory. I don't even have a close to one. But use a prayer list. Pray for people. Pray for those people that are dear to you that you know need salvation. Pray for this body of believers right here. Pray for the pastor. And, you know, get away from distractions if you can while you're doing it. Pray out loud. Don't be afraid to talk to the Lord, just in a normal, conversant voice. You know, you don't have to say any fancy words. You don't have to chant. You don't have to do anything like that. Just talk to him like you're talking to your best friend. And choose a posture that will keep you alert. You know, don't lie down in your favorite position to take a nap, and you know. I asked God to take away my habit. God said, no, it is not for me to take away, but for you to give it up. I asked God to make my handicapped child whole. God said, no, his spirit is whole, his body is only temporary. I asked God to grant me patience. God said, no, patience is a byproduct of tribulations. It isn't granted, it is learned. I asked God to give me happiness. God said, no, I give you blessings. Happiness is up to you. I asked God to spare me pain. God said, no, suffering draws you apart from worldly cares and brings you closer to me. I asked God to make my spirit grow. God said, no, you must grow on your own, but I will prune you to make you fruitful. I asked God for all things that I might enjoy life. God said, no, I will give you life so that you may enjoy all things. And I asked God to help me love others as much as he loves me, and God said, now you're getting it. Now you're getting it. All right, so pray, folks, right? Pray. Lots of stuff to pray about. Lots of stuff to be thankful for.